This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Could there be rules guiding software driven by increasingly sophisticated artificial intelligence? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. ChatGPT and Microsoft, Google's Bard, Meta's Sam, the artificial intelligence-powered tools keep coming. There's news overnight. The Biden administration wants to study what the rules may need to be to make sure this new so-called generative AI doesn't threaten society. These systems can create and amplify lies at school. They can be cheating on a stick. And in one notorious case, ChatGPT tried to trick a reporter into believing he was in an unhappy marriage. Marketplace's Nova Safo reports now on the first moves toward rules for these things.
AI tools are popping up at a rapid clip as internet companies race to adopt what many consider to be the future of digital innovation. An agency within the Commerce Department tasked with advising the White House on tech policy is trying to keep up, though it will be moving at a decidedly slower pace. The agency, called the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, has put out a request for comment on what rules are necessary as AI use grows. Comments will be accepted over 60 days, then down the line will come advice for the president on future policy recommendations. Concerns over AI, which, among other things, can write paragraphs of content and draw pictures, include adopting human biases and spreading misinformation. Last month, none other than the U.S. Chamber of Commerce called for more AI regulations. And an open letter signed by tech experts, including Elon Musk, called for a 6-month pause to AI development to set up shared safety protocols. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
While ChatGPT is officially unavailable in China, companies like Huawei and Baidu have announced their own rival projects. And today, China's tech giant Alibaba announced its AI chatbot. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak reports from Shanghai.
Alibaba's AI chatbot is called in Chinese Tongyi Qianwen, which loosely means truth from a thousand questions and can only understand English and Chinese, unlike the multilingual ChatGPT. Alibaba's AI chatbot will be first integrated into its workplace messaging app, DingTalk, and voice assistant Tmall Genie, which could help plan your vacation or design a list of songs for a workout that shifts with your blood pressure levels. But shortly after the announcement, China's internet watchdog issued draft rules that information generated from AI should reflect core socialist values and be truthful. Not doing so could incur punishment. Tech stocks, which initially surged, ended almost flat. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
There's been a slight decrease in the confidence of small business owners as captured in a survey out today from the National Federation of Independent Business. Some of this is the failure of those two banks last month, making proprietors nervous.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The Vatican recently returned to Greece three sculptures originally from the famed Parthenon temple in what it called a gesture of friendship, Britain, however, still refuses to give back a series of Parthenon sculptures acquired during the 19th century. What came to be known as the Elgin Marbles are featured at the British Museum. Dozens of institutions across the UK are reported to be considering plans to repatriate exhibits, typically items acquired during the British Empire, and the cost of sending them back could be hefty. Stephen Beard reports from the Horniman Museum in London.
When Frederick Horniman set up this museum at the height of the British Empire in 1901, he said he wanted to bring the world to South London, and he did. The sound of a street market in Nigeria plays out next to a display of plaques called the Benin Bronzes. But this bit of the world Horniman brought to South London, these plaques, are now headed back to where they came from.
Our trustees went through a process and concluded they were acquired illegally through looting and that they should be returned.
Nick Merriman, the museum's director, says title to 72 objects has been transferred to Nigeria. Sending them all back, though, could be pricey for a cash-strapped museum.
If one is talking about professional quality art shipping, then the costs, if borne by ourselves, could be significant.
Would that stop you from doing it?
Absolutely not. The decision was made on moral grounds, irrespective of costs.
$50,000 was one estimate for repatriating just 25 objects from another museum. Nevertheless, India Divers of the Museums Association says British museums must be prepared to pick up this tab.
Repatriation is an important part of museum work. So it's right that money is spent on this in the same way that it will be spent on other parts of museum work.
This is the heart of the matter, the purpose of museums in modern-day Britain, dealing with a difficult past.
So many museums were founded on the back of empire and transatlantic slavery in Britain.
She sees repatriation as
a powerful cultural and symbolic act which recognises past wrongs.
But critics of repatriation, like cultural commentator Tiffany Jenkins, say it betrays what should be the main purposes of a museum.
It's about knowledge, about understanding, about preservation, about audiences, and it's not about righting the wrongs of history.
She fears repatriated objects may not be as well cared for as they have been in Britain, and that British museums stripped of foreign exhibits won't show the interplay of different cultures, the primary purpose of a great museum.
The Horniman Museum and Gardens are a local treasure with internationally renowned collections in South London.
Back at Horniman's, they're dismissing those fears. With around 300,000 objects, they don't believe their stock is going to be depleted. And they say even the occasional empty plinth can help a museum tell a more interesting story. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And last fall, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office seized 27 ancient artifacts from New York's Metropolitan Museum, given evidence they'd been looted. They've been sent back to Italy and Egypt. The Smithsonian in Washington sent more than 24 bronze pieces back to Nigeria. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.